wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Because they repented not. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, because they repented not. In our Bible, we read of people who had the light of heaven, and yet they were brought down to hell. And our Lord told us it was all because they repented not. Then he told us of those who escaped awful judgment that was about to fall on them from God in heaven. And instead, they received his grace and mercy, and it was all because they repented. They repented. Neighbor, hear me good. If you do not repent, no matter what else you may do, you will go down to hellfire one day to know the awful judgment of a sin-hating God. The devil has a new masterpiece of deception in which he pretends to honor Christ, while instead he is making God's grace ineffective and beguiling souls by keeping them from repenting. He says, you cannot do anything to save your soul. Jesus died and did the work for you. So you just accept that as being true, and you are safe for eternity. Well, does the devil know that if he can keep you from repenting, God cannot and God will not show you mercy. The devil will even use Calvary's cross to deceive souls. It is certainly true that Christ did finish the work of salvation, but that work will not save you except ye repent. But if you will repent, no matter who you are and what you have done, God will show you mercy. We shall see this in those of whom our Lord said they repented. He said, the men of Nineveh shall rise in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Our Lord Jesus refers to himself as greater than Abraham, than David, than Jacob, than John the Baptist, than Solomon, and greater than Jonah. Why these men? They were the greatest in their spheres. John the greatest prophet, Abraham the greatest man of faith, David the greatest in experiences, Solomon the wisest of men, and yet that lowly Jesus of Nazareth was greater than all of them. If one objection says, what was so great about that fleeing prophet Jonah? Jonah was the greatest of all preachers. In these days, preachers try to sign up the greatest number of professions, but whoever could record 120,000 in 3 days? Preachers get a little wheat and a lot of chaff, but not Jonah. His converts were all real and sincere, so the Son of God testified they repented at the preaching of Jonah. It was real repentance, and it was all the result of Jonah's preaching. Jonah had no choir, no singer, nor party. He was just a lone street preacher that warned of God's wrath, and he is accredited with 120,000 real converts in 3 days. Who could be a greater preacher? A voice answers, a greater than Jonah is here. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. He stands alone, the prince of all preachers. For his words have brought life and salvation to millions of all lands and all generations. They're doing so right now, even as he said. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Out of all the Old Testament times, our Lord held up Jonah's 120,000 converts as models of real repentance, saying they repented. It was real repentance. Let us see the real Bible repentance. Jonah preached. The people heard the word of God. The message was clear. The warning trumpet of judgment gave no uncertain sound. See that plain country man going up and down the streets and alleys of that great city crying, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. What a message. Again and again he shouted those awful words. There was no love in them. God's forbearance with Nineveh had ended. He had tried to turn them from there by his goodness, but they proudly went on in their sin and indifference, just like people do today. And now God marked their deadline. Neighbor, God has marked yours too. He gave them 40 days, but your deadline may not be 40 minutes up the road. It was a message of God's judgment. The king is alerted. He looks from his palace on that strange, lone man as he hears him cry, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed." Yet he doesn't tell his servants, "Jail that fella. He will demoralize our city." No, the king of Nineveh was troubled. He returns to his throne, but not to sit on it. Has their king gone crazy? He takes off his crown. He is convicted. He is desperately in earnest. Something must be done, and done at once, to avert the awful wrath of God. But what could he do? He could repent, and so can you. And he did. Have you? Now we will watch real repentance. He removes his royal robes and attires himself in old burlap bags. He leaves his palace. Where's he going? His nobles follow him. Where? To the city dump. He falls down in his ashes and puts them on his head, and with his face in the dust, he wails like this, "O thou living God of heaven, I and my people have sinned greatly before thee. We deserve thy judgment, and I'm the most guilty, for I have led these people away from thee. O God, I thank thee for sending that man of God to warn us, and for granting us 40 days to repent. We do now turn from our evil ways and repent in these ashes, for I am but a worm. O God, have mercy on us, have mercy." Then the king sent his nobles to gather the people to him in the ash heap, men, women, and children, trembling at God's word, in fear and tears, assembled at the city dump. With their heads down in the ashes, they too cried mightily unto God for his mercy. What a sight for all heaven to see. God's heart is touched. He could cast the proud into hellfire. He could bury the wicked Sodomites under fire and brimstone from heaven. He could overthrow defiant Pharaoh in the Red Sea. He could give a watery grave to the mockers in Noah's day. But when God saw those of Nineveh in the ashes of repentance, he lifted the storm clouds. He held back the angels of vengeance. His frown of anger was changed to a smile of mercy. Neighbor, it happened to those sinners, and it will happen to you when you repent. But Capernaum liked to hear Jesus preach. They didn't try to kill him like those of Nazareth and Jerusalem. They liked to see his miracles, but they would not repent, for they loved their riches and their pleasures, and they repented not. Who were they like? Just like those who attend the big gospel campaign, they like the music and the preacher's personality. But when he tells them of their sins, they just smile at one another and go home to live on in their sins. No tears of shame, no crying to God for mercy, no ash heap for them, and no desire to be delivered from their evil ways. Although the preacher preached, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? Yet they will not repent, just like Capernaum. They are exalted to heaven with the gospel light, but they shall be brought down to hell. Why? Because they repented not. Christ did not die to relieve man of his responsibility to repent. He did not say to his Father, "My Father, I will die so they will not have to repent." But he died to provide salvation for those who do repent. If you do not repent, you cannot claim the blessings of Christ's sacrifice, for he bore only the sins of repentant sinners. His sacrifice was for all, that is, in behalf of all, but it was instead of only those who repent. Those who teach a universal salvation because Jesus died for all are leading men into a universal damnation, for they ignore repentance. And those who give the unrepentant hope in the death of Christ are teaching the devil's deception.
Our Lord Jesus did not come for the self-righteous and unrepentant, but he came to call sinners to repentance. And he died that such as do repent could be saved, and he warned all others. I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all perish. Repentance is not the Savior. A human experience could not redeem us. It took Christ and his precious blood. But as certainly as God demanded the blood of Christ to redeem man, so he demands the repentance of every sinner that would receive his mercy. Jonah, who led men to repent, cried, "Salvation is of the Lord." Repentance has done its clever work when those tearful, downcast eyes are lifted to the Lord Jesus Christ to look to him for salvation. But why is repentance so important? First, God demands it of all men. The President of the United States and the Queen of England are like Nineveh's king. Each must repent of his sins, or else he will be put into hellfire for his sins. From the greatest to the least, each one must repent, for God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Second, it is the first move of the soul toward God. Until you repent, God ignores all you do. Your good works are only dead works in his eyes. You may pray fine prayers, but he will not hear you. You may become religious, but it is only hypocrisy with God. Repentance first, or all else is vain. Third, repentance is the key to faith, salvation, and good works. You cannot believe until you repent. For our Lord Jesus said, they repented not that they might believe. Saving faith is impossible to an unrepentant soul. You must enter by the key of repentance. For 2 years, I tried hard to be saved. I knew Bible verses, but I was stalled until one night I used that key of repentance, and then it all happened. The light of heaven dawned, and a work of grace was done in my soul. It was only when Isaiah repented that he was forgiven of his sins and commissioned by the Lord as his servant. Neighbor, when you use that key of repentance, you will see Christ as your Savior, Calvary as your mercy seat, salvation as your inheritance, heaven as your home, and God as your Father when you repent. God gave Nineveh 40 days. He has already given you many years, but there may be left to you only 40 minutes. Don't eat another meal, nor close those eyes of yours in sleep until you have repented of your sin before God. You have remained unmoved under God's goodness to you, so I'm praying for God to send you tragedy, trouble, poverty, or to bring you to death's door, or whatever it takes to bring you to your knees in repentance. No distress in this life is to be compared with the anguish of the lost in hellfire, and it is repent or else go to hellfire forever for you. Our Lord Jesus spoke of one sinner that repenteth. This is a most personal matter. You for yourself, as it was I for myself. No one can repent for you. And it is a one-by-one matter. No matter what 99 people do or don't do, or 999, there's only one person in this picture. All others fade from view, and you stand alone in the presence of the living God who has commanded you to repent. He's watching you. I do hope he will see you fall on your knees as you cry to God to have mercy on you, and as you confess your wicked and ruined condition before him. And when that is done, then tell him that your only hope and only plea is that Christ Jesus, his Son, died for you. Then call on the Lord Jesus to save you, the helpless and hopeless lost sinner. Then quietly and reverently wait in his presence. As you do this, the Holy Spirit will do his work. He will make real to your heart that God has seen your repentance, and the Lord Jesus has heard your call upon him, and he has saved you. Peace with God will fill your heart, and thanksgiving and praise will fill your mouth. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.